Morning.
Good morning.
Shall we speak to the Lord? Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Thank you, dear God, for the time spent in your presence, where we could just muse upon the person, the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ, to muse on the extent of your love, where our Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to pay the penalty for our sins. So, Lord, we thank you. As we look into your word, O Father, we ask, O God, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that he may not only guide the speaker, but touch the hearts of individuals here, believers, O Father, and also unbelievers. We give you thanks for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
I've read it at work so much, sometimes I forget to take it off when I can. Okay. This morning, we're going to speak about a subject that's very dear to my heart and for several others as well. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10? Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, can we just flip back to Romans chapter 14? And we're reading from verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. And finally, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 15. Reading from verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but yet each one take heed how he builds on it. For there's no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, or I see straw here in my translation, same thing. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because of it will be revealed as by fire. And the fire which will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on, if it endures, And if any, and he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. The portions read shows the importance of the judgment seat. Now, what is the judgment seat of Christ? Now, there are several judgments in the Bible. We know well, we've been this morning remembering our Lord Jesus Christ as he was judged for us. In John chapter 12, verse 31, he declares the judgment of the believer's sin on the cross of Calvary by our Lord. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out, and if I shall be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. This depicts our Lord Jesus Christ, even as he went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. But there are other judgments also in the scriptures. There are judgments that the believer self-judgments. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, it declares that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may be condemned with the world. In our daily lives, we fail the Lord. We sin in thought, word, and deed. But do we go and ask the Lord for forgiveness? Yes, the scripture tells us that when we fail the Lord, we must go and ask him for forgiveness. And he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But oftentimes we may forget, and then we may recognize that there's a mark against us. And sometimes we remember years later, months later, and oftentimes we will then go on our knees, and the Lord will forgive us. He will.
Now, the scripture that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it actually declares the judgment for the believer's service. And we'll focus on that for a while. The judgment seat of Christ, the great examination of the saints. Yes, brothers and sisters, there's no condemnation to them are in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ paid that penalty for us on this cross of Calvary. And we who accepted him as Savior, that has been applied to us. The important thing, though, is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ paid that penalty for us, but the Lord Jesus Christ also expects us to live in a manner that is pleasing to him. He expects us to walk in an upright manner. There are responsibilities that we have as a child of God, and we must make sure that we execute them. And because of this, the important thing is this, that the Lord is going to be examining us at a future date to see whether we've been faithful to carry out what he has asked us to do. So my question to you is, what is our ambition? What is our ambition? What are our motives in serving the Lord? Well, our motives in serving the Lord is to be pleasing to him. In fact, the scripture says to be well pleasing to him. For we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We serve the Lord, and our primary motive is not to get that reward. Our primary motive is to be well pleasing to him. Is the Lord well pleased with me? Is he pleased with us? There are times that I fail him, but we've got to go and beg him to forgive us. Beg him to correct our ways, our walk, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, not only did he save us, but he graciously supplies the means to which we can serve him. Don't we have a wonderful God? And we don't deserve it. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's not a judgment for our sins. that have already been paid for by our Lord on the cross of Calvary. However, we must remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There are other things too to remember, that there's going to be a rapture of the church. And when that church is taken up, then following that comes the judgment seat of Christ. There are other judgments. For example, as we go further down, we'll see there's a great white throne judgment. But that great white throne judgment is not for believers. These are for unbelievers, sinners. But going back to the subject, the nature of the judgment seat of Christ, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it declares to us that we have got to all appear there. And verse 9 to 15 tells us that without any question, that there's no other foundation that was laid that can except for that of Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge there. And if you look in verse 12, it actually tells us that there'll be rewards given to believers. And he highlights them, the apostle highlights them there, that he speaks about gold, silver, and precious stones. But there'll also be wood, hay, and straw. Otherwise, well, I used to know it as stubble when I was young, but it's the same thing. I'll ask you, what is your ambition? What is your desire? I think of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, where Moses, by faith Moses, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yet, instead, he saw that there was a much greater benefit. The scripture says that he esteemed the greater riches of Christ than the treasures of Israel for a season. Why? Because he had respect for the recompense of the reward. Yes, I don't know whether Moses knew about a judgment seat of Christ, but I do know that he recognized that if he served the Lord, his reward would be much greater than if he remained the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the same thing for us, brothers and sisters. There are temptations that we have in the world today that we may lean in one side. But please remember that there's no greater benefit in serving the Lord. No greater benefit in serving the Lord. The Lord, he's able to provide for us what we need. He's able to encourage us in the service. And the greatest service we can have is to serve him faithfully. You see, yes, there's wood, hay, and stubble also. Yes, there are believers, for example. And at times I have done some wood, I have done some hay, I have done some stubble, soil for the Lord, and I ought not to. But can we not think a little higher? There is the gold, the silver, the precious stones. And what is it? The gold speaks of worship. It's the highest calling and responsibility we have. The gold speaks of worship. Yes, worship is a calling that we do have, that we worship the Lord continually in the beauty of holiness. We occupy our souls with him. Yes, there are times when we have a moment to spare. It may be at work, it may be somewhere else, and we can utter a word of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. And truly, it is precious. It is precious. It does something to our soul for the rest of the day. Now, there is not just gold, but there's silver. There's silver. Yes, silver speaks about redemption, salvation. And the silver that we can be used of the Lord to lead somebody to Christ, to encourage somebody in their Christian life. Yes, these are one of the rewards that we'll get based on the service that we express to the Lord in these areas. And then there's precious stones. Yes, precious stones. And these precious stones has to do with godly living, godly service. Whether it be somebody who may be sick, you may visit them. Somebody who is in need of something, we assist them. Yeah, these precious stones are very dear, particularly to our brothers and sisters, as we minister to them for the Lord. Now, we know these things. Well, at least now we know these things. What are we going to do about it? What will we do? The Lord is going to examine us on all these areas. And will he say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Will he say that? My prayer for you today is that we will recognize the importance of the judgment seat of Christ. We recognize the importance that we are going to be examined on the contents and our execution of the responsibility that the Lord gave us. Yes, we have several crowns. Yes, for these crowns, we have one that is known as the crown of life. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, it speaks about perseverance under trials. It speaks about enduring temptation. For when you are approved, you receive the crown of life. So this is one of the crowns. There's a crown of exaltation. That's a soul winner's crown. I speak about the silver a while ago. It's a soul winner's crown. And he says there in verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even in the presence of the Lord on that day?" The crown of glory. This crown is set aside for elders in their faithful service. And when the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5 verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away." There's the incorruptible crown. And this is a crown that's given to the believer who exercises self-control. And when I say self-control, we don't mean self-control that we handle. We mean the self-control that we allow the Spirit to handle. And it reads, "Everyone who competes," correction, yes, "everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. He exercises self-control in all things. Now, they that do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable, incorruptible crown." Yes, brother. Now, that self-control that we can have is done by the Holy Spirit that rests within us. Now, there's a crown of righteousness. And this one touches my heart so much from when I was a youngster. The crown of righteousness. And mark you, I had misleadings about it as a young man. But it means the believer whose life is centered around the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, "For loving his appearance." And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it declares that "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." Yes, the Lord has these crowns for us. But Revelation 4 verse 10, the elders got up and said, "I'm throwing my crown down at his feet, the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are not worthy." He is worthy. Only he is worthy. Brothers and sisters, what about you? What about our service for the Lord? Is there things that we could do for the Lord? We have been led to do it. And we may have said no. Or we've been led to do it. And we may do some. Have we done it faithfully? Can we do more? Can we do more? Yes, eyes have not seen, nor ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what the Lord has in store for them that serve him. Can we serve him faithfully? Can we serve him with all our hearts for Christ's sake? Amen.